Nararatna, Prabhu, you brought some friends from?
Turkey.
Ah, I thought so. Very nice. Thank you very much. Very happy to see you. Some devotees here from Turkey. Always happy to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's family expanding in different parts of the world. So, some questions? Is there another mic? Only one mic? Okay, so stand up and say it as loudly as you can. Please. If you come closer, then it'll come in this also. Come here. No, no, you stand up so they can. He's very shy.
In the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam.
You see the devotees at the back? You have to speak to them. Don't speak to me.
In the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Prabhupada said, we should not even try to hear about the pastimes of Krishna in Goloka. Only when one comes to the platform of spontaneous devotional service can he hear about such pastimes. Some of the Maharajas in ISKCON give lectures on these topics, write books like Venu Gita, what to do when such.
All right, well, this statement should be understood in context.
Especially when it is given by unqualified devotee, and how to understand this qualified.
Yeah, we should understand this in context. Our acharyas have recommended us to hear the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, but especially for those who have not reached the perfect stage, especially the childhood pastimes of Krishna are recommended. There are aspects of Krishna's pastimes with the gopis which to persons who are not fully freed from all material desires appear to be like the erotic activities of materially contaminated persons of this world. And unless one is free from such desires oneself, then by hearing that, if one is not fully convinced that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, then desires that we shall enjoy in such a manner are liable to arise within our hearts. So although the intimate pastimes of Krishna with the gopis, hearing that is certainly the perfection of existence, but for one who is not ready to hear that, that will have an opposite effect. So it is better to hear it's especially recommended that we hear about Krishna's childhood pastimes. We want to come to Krishna. Krishna is all attractive. Krishna is not simply God. He's God and a lot more too. The normal understanding of God doesn't allow for anything to be more than God. But when I'm saying God here, I'm meaning in the sense that we think of God. We think of Him as the supreme, and He's always acting in that role. But Krishna, although He is the supreme, out of love, which is His, again, the word love, we tend to understand it in materialistic terms. But the essence of His being is sweetness. Madhurja Bhagavata Sa. It's not opulence or power or punishment, but sweetness. And that sweetness comes from loving exchanges. So certainly we want to be Krishna conscious. Srila Prabhupada didn't want to have call his society the International Society for God Consciousness, but very specifically Krishna, the supreme loving, supremely sweet person. And that sweetness is not simply some theoretical feeling, but that sweetness or that exchange of rasa takes place within his pastime. So if we're at all to be attracted to Krishna rather than to simply a concept of God, then we have to hear Krishna's pastimes. But at the same time, because Krishna's pastimes are inconceivable, in as much as from our vantage point they resemble human pastimes, so we simultaneously have to hear about the greatness, how he is great, and hear his pastimes. But we should be, please sit, come here, sit, see that empty spot, go and sit there. So, hearing about Krishna's pastimes, but in a guarded manner, so that we don't become victimized by our own bad propensities. Another consideration is that we have to earn the qualification to, as Madhura Brinda Bipina Madhuri Prabesha Chaturi Sha, to enter into the sweet pastimes of the sweet groves of Vrindavan is the topmost level of all perfection. But there's some consideration of qualification also. These are the pastimes of the Supreme Person, his private life, you can say. So it's just like the president of the country. Not everyone has, very few people have the right to directly approach him anyway. But to enter into his intimate life, his family life, only very few, very close family friends can do that. Even the Prime Minister doesn't have the right to do that. In India there's Prime Minister and President. So the Prime Minister doesn't have the right to relate to the President in the same way that the President's wife does. Even though the Prime Minister is much more powerful and important person in the worldly sense than the President's wife, to the President, his wife is much more important to him than the Prime Minister. So from the general point of view, we see the Prime Minister as very important. But from the President, who's the topmost person in the state, his wife is more important. So this is, Krishna conscious means to approach God on his terms. But we have to become qualified to do that. There's a question of eligibility also. So, what to do? So many different books. Well, as far as I can see, they're talking about the books of Shivaram Maharaj, who's written extensively about Krishna Leela. He has written in a manner bearing these points in mind. That he is written in a manner that he doesn't describe the very extremely intimate parts. At the same time, there may be a tendency for devotees beyond their level of qualification to discuss pastimes rather than tattva. There are two considerations: tattva, or philosophical or philosophy, and rasa, or the exchange, or the rasa means that wonderful expression which comes from exchanges with Krishna. So everything is meant for leading to rasa. Everything is meant for rasa. But at the same time, unless we are properly situated in tattva-gyan, knowledge of philosophy, again, the philosophy, it's not a good word. Tattvagyan is a better word, but we have to use English words because we're speaking in English. So, using the word philosophy, understanding its limitations. Even the term Tattvagyan, that's a very good term, but then that's again misunderstood and misinterpreted by different schools. So we should understand Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead, through the Vaishnav Parampara. So without understanding that, then if we discuss so much about Leela, there'll be rasa will be produced, but unless we're situated on the platform of utter surrender to Krishna, then we will, hearing the descriptions of Krishna, we will tend to consider Krishna as an object of our enjoyment. And thus the rasa that will be produced in us will be one of mundane rasa. So this has been discussed extensively by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his composition Prakrita Rasa Shata Dushani. So you can study that. That actually needs to, this should be discussed in great detail. He's given in sutra form. Roti age shraddha pache rupa noga balena. For instance, one of the many sutras that he's given therein is that to say we shall have attachment to Krishna and then we'll think about faith in Krishna later. Those who are followers of Rupa Goswami, they don't say that. It's Rupa Goswami says, ado shraddha. First of all, there should be faith. Not that we jump in at an intermediate level, jumping over the intermediate stages. It doesn't work like that. Rupanugas, followers of Rupa Goswami, don't say that. We have to follow the process given by Rupa Goswami. So it's a big topic. And again, as we're going through many questions and answers, many of which could be discussed for at great length, we're just touching them briefly. So yes, we should hear about the pastimes of Krishna, but we should also hear about Krishna's pastimes in relationship with the material world. We should study Bhagavad Gita, we should hear about Krishna's greatness, we should understand all these points. Siddhanta balya chitte nakara alosh. Yeha hoite krishna lage surida manosh. Who knows the translation of this important verse from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita? Please say it loudly so everyone can hear.
That by discussion...
Don't say to me, say to those standing at the back.
By discussion about Krishna, philosophy and intelligence is strengthened.
Strengthened. One should not be lazy.
One should not be lazy to discuss the philosophy.
Yeah, specifically Siddhanta. Philosophy, that gives the idea of mental wanderings, but Siddhanta means to come to the point of actual understanding. So one should not be mentally lazy. One should apply one's intelligence to understand what is Siddhanta, because from this, yes, one's yaha hoite Krishna, one's attachment to Krishna becomes strong. Then another question? Please stand up and say it.
So from this same question, there is a question. How to understand his qualifications?
You want me to say it? Alright, I'll say it. How to understand the qualifications of a speaker. Well, that may not be obvious very quickly. Just by looking at someone you can't tell. And by their immediate behavior you may not be able to tell either. It may take some time to understand. There are some basic qualifications. This morning I was discussing with some God brothers, and we're going to make a proposal for next year's Mayapur festival, that those who lead kirtans, they should be known to be chanting 16 rounds and following four regulated principles. So that should be a minimum qualification. That question came up about being properly situated. There's some other proposals also about the Mayapur festival we're going to bring up. For instance, about rock and roll kirtan. That may be difficult to tell. If there are signs of gross material attachment, that is easily identifiable. If one is not following regulated principles, or if one is attached to petty materialistic activities like watching silly things on TV, which means pretty much everything that comes on TV. But it may be subtle. Someone may appear to be a great devotee, but may not be. And it may take an advanced devotee to know the difference. There are examples given in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. There was one apparent devotee of Lord Ram who accompanied Raghunath Bhatta as he journeyed from Varanasi to Puri, and he was all the time chanting the name of Ram. And he appeared to be a great devotee of Lord Ram, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't accept that he was actually a devotee. He saw within his heart there was the desire for impersonal liberation. So to detect that may be not possible for all. There may be also desires for name and fame. One is speaking on a very high level to earn the praise of being known as a great devotee. That's also possible. So one will have to, or one may be, there may be some wrong philosophy there. I hear it quite a lot actually in classes spoken, in which it is not exactly to the point. So these things in many ways, although we do have Siddhanta Balyana Chitena Karahalosh, we have not to be lazy in understanding Siddhanta, but we shall have to pray to Krishna to guide us also towards that which is for our best interest. We're not always able to perceive what is for our best interest. Yeah, another question. Oh yeah, okay. Quick. Be straight, something like that. Tatse, or whatever you want to say. Look, then better if now you have the mic, you can translate the question yourself. Just speak loudly or turn the volume up and turn it down or something like this. Can you manage that? No? It's only a short range mic. Difficult to translate. All right, then you go there, Gauranga, and do the translation. Here we have Gauranga Dada. Good combination.
There's actually a quick question on that topic.
Okay, all right, throw it in there quick. Stop! Actually, it's supposed to be written questions, but we'll allow one specially for you.
Can you just give us what's your advice on as far as reading Prabhupada's books in connection to other gurus writing books about Krishna's Leela and Prabhupada's?
Reading Prabhupada's books and reading other books. See, there are so many books nowadays, including my books. Some people say, stop all the other books. But they'll never stop, because writing books is kirtan, and kirtan should go on. But certainly, Prabhupada's books must be the basis of this, of devotees' understanding in our movement. That seems to be very clearly Prabhupada's desire. And that also, we can see, that helps to situate devotees solidly in Krishna consciousness if they have a good grounding in Prabhupada's books. So, yeah, please read Prabhupada's books. As far as reading other books is concerned, well, the name of Shivram Maharaj was mentioned. He has a rule for his disciples that they're not allowed to read other books unless they get his permission, because there are many books being printed, and even they may be good books, but they may not be good for the particular person, what they need to read. As far as Krishna Leela is concerned, you can read Krishna book, have a good grounding in that. Yeah, then read again and again. I read through Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, I think 6 times before I started reading other books. So, if you can do that, that's good. And I didn't stop reading Prabhupada's books when I started reading other books also. It takes time. We have to make the time to read. It's very important.
In the book, Brahmacharya and Krishna consciousness, you write about who can be a Vanaprastha. So, if devotee
Yeah, well, this is... we're talking about following the Varnashram system. There's no divorce in Varnashram system, so you... you could be considered a Vanaprastha, just like our devotees, they're considered... They join ISKCON at the age of 22, having had 3 girlfriends and 2 wives and 4 children. And they put on saffron and they're called brahmacharis. So I guess, you know, you could be called a brahmachari or a vanaprastha, but it's a little unusual. Just for the sake of calling something, we can say like, or you can adopt that mood. If one is actually in that mood of now I'm preparing for renunciation and going back to Godhead, the way it's said, if someone's divorced, it's just written like it's like the most normal thing in the world. Something like, you know, this morning I had 5 chapatis, 2 samosas and a divorce. It's like, you know, like it's such a normal thing. So this is not good. There's no divorce in Varnashram. Then. Yeah, next question.
Yeah, I could get something on the forgetting or something, and you not look at immediately. Something that you will be kept for next day.
Oh, I see, yeah. No, it's better to make fresh every day. Even hygienically, it's better to make fresh every day. Make fresh and offer to Krishna fresh every day. Better. No, better make fresh every day. That's what I'm saying. Even, like I'm saying, even hygienically, it's better to do so. I'm not sure if these are the best questions for your friends who are coming newly. It's a little, you know, maybe beyond their scope of understanding. What do you think?
Somebody offers water and alcohol, and then another person is okay.
Can be. He's a. It's not usually done, but can be. Yeah, all right, next question. Sorry? There's no problem. No problem. Krishna won't strike you with a thunderbolt for doing that. Krishna doesn't like one more than another. If you're in Krishna conscious, you can have 25 wives. Probably it's not allowed in most countries though, by law. What other questions?
Another question. We have praised the Lord for Prema Bhakti.
Sorry?
Prayers?
Prayers.
Prayers.
Prayers. Prayers to the Lord for achieving Prema Bhakti. And another prayer for obtaining Swarupa. Is it the same or different terms?
Which prayers are you referring to exactly?
One is for Prema Bhakti and another for achieving.
Which prayers are being referred to? Well, we can hear the prayer to Tulsi Devi being prayed now, so that has in this prayer the both things are being stated now. One will achieve a form in Vrindavan by which you'll be. By which one. Karo Nija Dasi, make me your own maidservant. And then Sri Radha Govinda Preme Shada Jaino Bhasha. so that I will always swim in the love of Radha and Krishna. So we can say the two are more or less synonymous.
In the preliminary prayer in the morning, devotees order to say Vishnu Bhakti.
Should it be Vishnu Bhakti or Krishna Bhakti? It's one of those frequently asked questions. Philosophically, it could be understood either way, and probably more so Krishna Bhakti. But as the exact Shastric reference says Vishnu Bhakti, we should say Vishnu Bhakti. What happened is, when the first ISKCON songbook was made, the compiler of that decided to change it from Vishnu Bhakti to Krishna Bhakti, and confusion has been there ever since. But better to stick to what the Shastra states. Do you want to turn this fan on? It's quite hot in here. This one. But if you don't mind, because I tend to lose my voice, those at the front will suffer the heat along with me. You like it better than the snows of Slovenia. Still snowing there?
Yeah.
Once I left India in May, and who's been in India in May? Non-Indians? Of course the Indians have been there. It's hot, right? Very hot. 45 degrees. I arrived in Moscow and it was snowing. Just see. Keshav, Tua Jagat Bichitra. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, oh Keshav, your world is Bichitra, very strange. Yeah, we're going through the Russian questions, so let's suffer them first and then we'll get back to non-Russian questions. Yeah. How what? How the form of the Guru Parampara?
Because it seems to be Sanatana Goswami does not mention it as in the chain of Parampara.
In our list of Parampara Acharyas, the principal Acharyas are given. There are actually thousands and thousands. You're all in that list also. But you're not mentioned. Only the prominent Acharyas are mentioned. So we may ask how Sanatana Goswami is not mentioned, being such an important Acharya. Rupa and Raghunath are mentioned. Well, Sanatana Goswami is definitely there, but because Rupa and Raghunath were, by their writings, they were particularly giving the shape, the formative understanding of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sampradaya. They particularly gave understanding of the Unatajvala Prema Rasa, or the topmost shining rasas of Raja Leela. So in their writings, Rupa and Raghunath, especially these two, gave this. And Jiva Goswami substantiated that in his writings. So often their names are mentioned, although it doesn't mean that Sanatana Goswami is any less important, but the names of those who made particularly formative contributions, those names are mentioned in the list of Acharyas. After Rupa, Raghunath, then Jiva, then Narottam Das, by his writings also, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Baladev Vidyabhushan. So these are mentioned. Then the modern Acharyas are mentioned after that. That means from Jagannath Das Babaji. From Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, and Srila Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur, they're all revealers of the Dham, especially of Navadvip Dham. So it's a huge topic, very big topic, to understand what is parampara, who are the acharyas, what they have given. Too much to take up in this session here. If we get a lifetime of several hundred years, and the intelligence of Lord Brahma, then we might be able to explain the significance of one grain of dust at the lotus feet of our acharyas.
How can I understand that my spiritual master pleased with my service?
How can I understand that my spiritual master is pleased with my service? You can ask him. If you are concerned that he may not be, you can ask him. Or another alternative is, you can act so sincerely that he'll be pleased at least with the effort. All right, in the meantime, usually we understand that we should offer to Krishna what he likes, but I also read in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that we should offer what we like. Is that also pure devotional service? It's not exactly said we should offer what we like, but we should offer something that is very dear to us. There's a bit of a difference. In other words, we should be prepared to give those things which we are attached to, we should be prepared to offer that to Krishna. There's a difference, isn't there? We might be attached to a pair of gold earrings, for instance, but we can offer them to Krishna, to the deity. There's a subtle difference there. In Hari Bhakti Vilas, it's also stated that we can offer that which we like for householders. We can offer what we like or what we need to take to feed our family. So, it can be pure devotional service if we're completely on the platform of manasa deho geho jo kichumar arpiluntu apade nandakishore, that our family life is executed wholly in sync with the desires of Krishna. That provision is also there for less advanced devotees who are attached to various forms of sense gratification. So instead of taking something which is not offered to Krishna, at least it's more like karma yoga. Yat karoshi yadashnasi yajjahosi tadasi yat tapasyasi kamtaya tat karushva madarpana. Instead of offering to Krishna what he likes, we may offer to him what we like and say, Krishna, please accept this and I'll enjoy it afterwards, which isn't really the proper level, but it's better than trying to be a totally independent enjoyer. And thus we get pizza prasadam, which Mother Yashoda, at least we don't find any instances of Mother Yashoda offering pizza to Krishna. All right, what's the next question? Russian, you have more? If there aren't any more, it's also okay. All right. You also have? Yeah. Initiated or uninitiated devotees, how can we know that we are progressing in and or our service is being accepted? This question came up yesterday, actually. Is there a difference between initiated and uninitiated? What is the significance of initiation? It's a big topic. Again, it can be said that, well, I can say the same thing, maybe from a slightly different angle, that dikka kali bhakta karayata samarpan. Initiation means the surrendering. So you may say, well, we surrender without the initiation ceremony, but that's a That's a formal declaration of one's surrender. How can we know if our service is being accepted? Well, the method is of offering devotional service at all levels except that of Radharani and Balaram. At all levels is to offer through other devotees. So that's why it's important to be initiated. That's one of the reasons. So I have questions sent to me by email also, so I can get through. Yeah, please.
So on the question of devotees who are uninitiated,
yeah,
how can they, because they can't go to the spiritual master and say, are you happy with my service?
Yeah, well, I was explaining this yesterday actually, that initial coming to devotional service, in the initial stages, we're just preparing for entry into devotional service. So that will also be in relation to devotees, isn't it? Devotional service means we have to associate with devotees. Devotional service is given. Devotion is given by devotees. Bhakti stu bhagavat bhakta sangena parijayate. So in the initial stages, we're connected with devotees. And that connection becomes strong or fixed when we make the commitment that comes with initiation. Is that right? You look a little confused then.
In that period of time, before they take initiation, can
yeah.
they understand they're making progress? Can they see that?
Well, in that stage, we don't really understand that much, do we? It's the beginning stage, but certainly progress is there. The mercy of Krishna is coming in. But to get fully on the road, it's like you may be approaching the highway, but you have to get on the highway to go to the destination. So if you're approaching the highway, you're going in the right direction. But still you have to get on the highway to go to the destination. So here are some questions. Is Ayurveda considered Karmakanda since it deals with maintaining the material body? Well, in the Vedic literature there's Karmakanda, which is that comprises much of the body of the Vedas, which is meant for promotion to heavenly planets and enjoying comfortable life. And there's Jnana Kanda, which is meant for, generally meant for impersonal liberation. And there's Bhakti. So the Ayurveda deals with the body, so is it Karma Kanda? Well, the body is also used for Bhakti. Actually, Ayurveda it comes under Upaveda. It's not in the Vedic, directly in the Vedic literature itself. So it's not really Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, or Bhakti, but rather it's an aid which can be used. Now, in the actual Ayurveda is not extant at the present time, but there are Sanhitas, which are especially Charvak. Charak Sanhita is that which deals with the essence of the Ayurveda according to Charak. So often you'll find written that in the Ayurvedic texts as we have them today, that this will help to make the body strong and one can enjoy life like this. So it appears to be aimed at material enjoyment, but it can also be used by devotees to help keep the body healthy so they can serve Krishna. Question about protein. Urad Dal, quoting from Madhya Lila. Purport. about foods prohibited in Kartik. A non-vegetarian diet means fish and meat. Similarly, Masoor dal and Urad dal are considered non-vegetarian. Well, actually the word here, non-vegetarian, the original term is Amish, which is not exactly that, but there's no real translation for that. So it's generally understood as non-vegetarian. But Amish actually includes meat, fish, eggs, garlic, onions, mushrooms. It's all Amish. So Masoor dal, or red lentils, are also considered non-vegetarian. Prabhupada says because they have a very high protein content. I don't know how this thing about Urad dal came in about being non-vegetarian. Maybe we should check the recordings, because many times when Prabhupada said something, they misunderstood, and it came out just like it said in the Bhagavad Gita purport, in the unrevised edition, that there is a planet of trees, which should be the planet of pit trees. But certainly Prabhupada himself regularly took preparations made with Urad dal. So to say they're banned seems very strange. About soya, Prabhupada, well, according to Hridayananda Maharaj, Prabhupada said that soya is unofferable. And certainly it's not part of standard Vaishnav fare. Well, the question is that it's in many ISKCON cookbooks. Well, the answer to that is that it's not necessarily that everything that you find published is bona fide. Even it may have the label ISKCON in it. So, soya... No, not offerable. You can offer it if you like, but it doesn't mean that Krishna is going to accept it. So. Sometimes they offer this imitation meat. Pretty horrible. This is a question. When I was preaching to one of my Christian friends that according to the Bible, meat eating is strictly prohibited. Then he said, Jesus said that animals are to be enjoyed by commandments. Thou shalt not kill is only for humans. So it's a question about the Bible. Well, actually we don't have that much to do with the Bible or arguing about this and that. But there is a book by Stephen Rosen, Satyaraj Das Prabhu, who analyzed that. Actually, Jesus wrote in Aramaic, he spoke in Aramaic, an ancient language of Palestine. And some centuries later, the final version of the Bible was brought out in Greek and then translated in Latin. And by linguistic analysis, it may be seen that, for instance, where it says in the Bible, as it's now translated in English, Jesus said to some of his followers, have you eaten your meat? But if we see the original Greek, it just says food, and the word is the same as meat. Just like in Indian languages, just like in Bengali, if you want to say, have you taken your meal, you'll say, apni ki bhat khechen? Have you eaten rice? Because eating is synonymous with eating rice. They eat rice at every... It means, have you taken your meal? It means, have you eaten rice? Same in Telugu, Annamu, something like that, means food. Tamil, Idli. No, Samba is not the staple food. That's a side dish. Huh? In Gujarati, they say like... In Gujarati, have you eaten laddus? Anyway, the idea is that in Greek, when they wrote food, Jesus, he was saying, have you eaten your food? And that was written in Greek, have you eaten your food? But the word for food in Greek is the same as meat. Just like in Indian languages, the word for food is anna, which means food or rice. So in Greek, in at least in biblical Greek, food and meat were synonymous. So you see how it came like this? Scholars, as much as we can believe what they say, say that Jesus, his parents were a member of the Essene cult, which was prominent in Palestine at that time. Essenes believed in reincarnation and they were vegetarians and teetotalers. So it appears that Jesus was also. So there's the story of him converting water into wine, but then again, if we see by linguistic analysis, it's grape juice. And so it may be like this. It's certain, even if we say that Jesus was a meat eater, we could, which there appears to be good evidence that he wasn't, but that would show that it's to the persons who are at all sensitive, they can understand that this is not the highest religious principle. People that say God made the animals for us to eat, it's simply stone-heartedness. If we cannot perceive that this causes so much suffering, meat eating is an obstacle to spiritual understanding. It's all based on the understanding, on the misunderstanding that God made this world for us to enjoy. But rather, we are in this world because of that propensity to want to enjoy separately from Him. And instead of wanting to serve Him for His pleasure, we think that He should serve us for our pleasure. So that is one level of theism, very, very basic. But that's not advanced theism. Just like the child thinks that the parents are meant to serve me, but then when he becomes more developed in consciousness, he thinks I should serve my parents. That's a simple example. So in the primary stage of theism, we may think that God is meant to fulfill my desires, but then when we become more advanced, we understand that even though he has no personal greed or any, but he has desire to exchange loving exchanges with us. So on this basis we can serve him. He has nothing to get from us, but he wants our loving service. But in general anyway, as probably most of you know, to speak to people who are committed in their way of thinking is very difficult. Mostly people, anyway, people who are meat eaters, it's very difficult to even begin to discuss any basic principles of spiritual understanding with them. It's very contaminating to the consciousness. And people who think that God made the animals so that we can kill them and eat them, people are there of such perverted consciousness. How are you going to discuss reasonably with them? We can't expect to have any reasonable discussion with them. Another person in the train said, does the Lord have any children by the process that the materialistic human beings are undergoing? I said no, but he was not convinced with my answer. Well, he's not a material person, is he? Although we hear that Krishna had so many children in his pastimes as a householder, but it's not exactly by the way we say the materialistic process. Krishna doesn't have any material lust, but he has children. one thing, people are asking about God, but they just use this term God, but they have no idea what it means. So even we just, people may say that, well, I don't believe in God. And we ask them, well, which God don't you believe in? I probably don't believe in that God either. But then if you have to define God, even to define Him, then you have to express some level of understanding of who He is. So even to say, I disbelieve in God, you have to have some, first there has to be some prima facie of belief in Him that you could then that you can deny. So even mentally to disbelieve in God, you have to first of all believe in Him and then disbelieve. Because you can't disbelieve in a non-entity or in a non-concept. So someone who says, I believe in God, actually what they're saying is that I accept that there is such a concept, but I disbelieve that concept. But then you can say, how can there be a concept without anything behind it? How many of you believe in antographs? Anyone? No one? Why not? We never heard what an antograph is. Does anyone know what an antograph is? No. Well, nor do I, because I just made the word up. So you can't believe in a non-entity. Non-entity is used in modern English to mean an insignificant person. But it literally means something that doesn't exist. I'm not just making this up, by the way. This is all discussed by Jiva Goswami and other philosophers. Jiva Goswami discusses about the concept of not believing in a rabbit with horns. Does it have any meaning to not believe in that? Because a rabbit doesn't have, there's no rabbit with horns. So if we say, I don't believe in God, you first of all have to please define the God that you don't believe in. All right, well, if that's all the questions for today, then we'll finish here. You're supposed to write them down. We'll make an exception.
Rani Kashyapu, he becomes invisible when he's fight when there's the part between Lord Vishnu and Rani Kashyapu.
Hiranyakashipu becomes invisible while fighting with Lord Nrisimhadev. It's stated in the Bhagavatam. Yeah.
So my question is, why does that happen? Why doesn't that happen with the demons when Krishna is fighting with other demons?
Why doesn't that happen with other demons when Krishna is fighting with them? I don't know. I don't know what's going on in the mind of every demon at every second while they're fighting. They can choose different tricks. They take different forms. Shalva, while he was fighting, sometimes his fantastic airship would become invisible. And then it would appear in I guess different demons have different tactics. But I didn't interview them and it's too late now. So it's difficult to say. It's like you can speculate, why did Napoleon march over the Alps in the winter? Why didn't he wait? Why did he attack Russia? You can speculate, but you don't know. He's gone now. And I don't know. If you want, you can wait till the next time round. And if there's anyone taking that kind of demoniac pastime, you can just jump in and tell them, just wait a minute in the fight, I want to give you an interview here. An interview for the newspaper before you get killed. Mathura Times. Well, Putana, we'd just like to ask you, what is your motive in coming here? Well, actually... Not everything is known to everyone except Krishna. What kind of earrings was Putana wearing when she came in? You don't know? All right, I don't know either. What hairstyle did she have? What color sari was she wearing? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.